Chip Blower had hip replacement surgery on Monday. He's at home, he's doing well. He continues to be in a lot of pain, but he is home and he is able to move about. So please hold Chip in your prayers. And Joe Hedrick, Wednesday or Thursday, was transferred to Alston Brook Rehab Center. He can have visitors, so if you'd like to go visit him, please do that. It's going to be a long road of recovery for him. He's really, really weak after all that he's kind of gone through these last few weeks. So please hold him in prayer that he can grow stronger and get back to doing some of the things that he enjoys to do. Tomorrow night is Agape at 6:30 at Libby Carrick's house. This Wednesday, senior citizens meet at 10:30 at the office, and worship and music committee is at 2 that day. Are there any other announcements that I am forgetting? All right, we have a few birthdays this week. Andrew Curry, Robert Napolitano, Tony Chapman, Chad Hedrick, Abby Hearn, and Kyle Murphy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. And blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sin, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as God loves. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back, those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? It is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Psalm is Psalm 82. God stand to change, to charge the divine council assembled. How long will you judge unjustly?
And show favor to the weak.
Save the weak and the orphan.
And the humble and
rescue the weak and the poor.
Deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They wander about in darkness. Now I say to you, you are gods.
And all of you children of the Most High.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals.
And fall like
infants. Arise, O God, and rule the earth. The second reading is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, but she had received the spices in peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of the lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of the weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their death by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Word of God, word of life,
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Two against three, and two and three against two, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against mother, daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and it happens. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And did I see Ty here today? Where's Ty? I want Ty to come up too. Will you girls come up? And this was my error. These words were omitted from the bulletin, but these are the last two verses of the Hebrews passage. And since my children's sermon is based on them, I'm going to go ahead and read them. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So sometimes I really struggle with which lesson to preach on. And today there were two lessons that I felt called to preach on. One, I really felt called to preach on the gospel because it's a really, really hard word. And I felt like I just couldn't read it and let it sit there. I wanted to offer some thoughts on what Jesus is really trying to say. But this Hebrews passage is one of my favorite in all of Scripture because it talks about the great cloud of witnesses. And as many of you know, I was adopted in my early 20s. And so for many years, and still now, my family is the body of Christ. In baptism, that's where I got my family. And so the crowd, that cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints is my family. And this is one of those places in Scripture where it directly talks about those clouds of witnesses. And so I just wanted to offer a word of encouragement for the three of you as you're getting ready to go back to school in a couple weeks, and for Ty, who's going to school this Thursday. So back in ancient times, when the letter of Hebrews would have been written, the Olympics weren't held in a grand setup like we have today, where in different cities they have different arenas kind of all gathered in an Olympic park. So for example, the race that this person is talking about in Hebrews, it would have been run all over the countryside, and the person running would have had different terrains, maybe some mountainous ranges, rocky. It wouldn't have been a well-cemented path. And so this person is running a really long race, probably a very difficult race out there in the elements. And the last part of the race would have brought them to an arena where there were bystanders and people in the crowds who were cheering them on to finish the race. Because I don't know if you've ever run in a race, But especially if it's a long race, when you get to the end, you're worn out. You can't hardly breathe. You're really hot. You just don't know if you have the energy to get to the finish line. And so when these people are at their lowest point, not sure if they can make it to the end, they enter into the arena, and the crowd is cheering and cheering and cheering. And somehow all of those cheers help them make it to that finish line. So a couple things about this passage. One, we talked last Sunday about how being a Christian doesn't mean that hard times won't come in our lives, because they will. Whether you're entering into fifth grade, or you're in middle school, or you go into college, or you're somewhere along the adult spectrum of life, hard times are going to come, hard things are going to happen, crummy things are going to happen. But God is there with us. In this race of life that we are running, Jesus has run it before us. In fact, he mapped out the course. He is the one who perfectly ran this race and has made it to the finish line. And so when we are running the race and we run into difficulties, Jesus is ahead of us, and we are to look to Jesus, because he has run the race before us. And what I really want you to hear is that when you are running your race, and when life gets really hard, you have a family of millions and billions of people cheering you on. In your baptism, you were baptized into the family of God. And so the entire family of God, all of those people who have gone before us, all of God's people who are living now, and the people who are yet to come are part of that family, and they are cheering you on. This is one of the reasons why I love to come to church on Sundays, because I can be feeling really down and discouraged. I could have had a really tough week. I might have something hard coming up, but I get to see my family, and seeing them and being with them gives me encouragement and gives me strength to keep going. And so, yes, you've got your family here, but you've got the family of God all over surrounding you and cheering you on. And so, Ty and Isabel, that means that your papa, he's in that cloud of witnesses. You might not be able to see him, but he is cheering you on. All of those that we love that have gone before us are cheering us on. So as these kiddos are getting ready to start a new school year, as Ty is getting ready to go to college, can we take a minute and just cheer them on and let them know that you are loved? Woo! You got this! You got this! You are so very loved by all of us here and by the entire family of God. Always carry that in your hearts. You can go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get back to this gospel text. It certainly is a challenging one, isn't it? Do you ever struggle to make sense out of what Jesus says sometimes in the gospels? I mean, we all have our favorite passages, ones that give us comfort or encouragement. But then we have passages like today that we just don't know what to make sense of. We sort of scratch our heads and say, huh. Or maybe we wonder, why in the world did Jesus say that? That doesn't even sound like him. In this case, Jesus, bring division? Didn't you come to bring peace? Didn't the angels sing over the shepherds at your birth, good news and peace to all on earth? Well, first of all, I want to remind all of us that when we read the Bible, we can't always read it literally. The only way we can faithfully understand Scripture is when we look at it in its context. When we understand all the multifaceted parts of the context in which a passage was originally written. So for example, in Leviticus 19, God's people are commanded not to wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. How many of you are following this commandment today? I don't think any of us. But if we were to take that literally, we would have to get rid of most of the clothes in our dressers and our closets. Or what about when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, if we read this literally, I don't think any of us would have either eye or either hand. And so I don't think that Jesus meant for his original hearers or for us to cut out our eyes and cut off our hands. What I'm really getting at here is that in order to faithfully understand what Jesus was trying to communicate, both then and now, we have to understand the context in which he was speaking. And then secondly, when we hear or read scripture, in order to understand what is truly being communicated, we have to read it through the lens of God's character. And we know that God is merciful, that God is faithful and just, that God is good, and God is love. And so for today's gospel lesson, we read it through the lens of Jesus. And Jesus is God, which means Jesus is merciful, and Jesus is good and just, and Jesus is love. And so when we put on the lens of Jesus to read these verses, it actually kind of makes us question what Jesus is saying, because these words feel quite contradictory to who we know Jesus to be. Jesus doesn't want us to hate our family members. Jesus is love, and earlier Jesus calls us to love all people, to love others as ourselves. So let's dig a little deeper, because there's something else that Jesus is trying to tell us here. Because of the context, we know that Jesus is speaking about discipleship. He's speaking about the life of faith that we are called to live. And what Jesus is trying to say in this passage, he's passionately saying that a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. Jesus was communicating that faithful discipleship, faithfulness to God, means that we love God even more than we love those who are closest to us. That we love God even more than we love our family. And ultimately, that we love God even more than we love our lives. Also, in context, in first century Palestine, the time that Jesus lived, to hate was not an emotion word. Rather, it speaks to loyalty and faith. So in this context, when Jesus says hate, it actually means to regard less. So Jesus is saying that we are to regard our family less than we regard God. Jesus is saying that we are to regard God more than our family, more than everything. What Jesus is doing is he is using contrast to make a very strong point about the life of faith that we are to live. We are to love God with our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Jesus was emphasizing how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. In our baptism, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in our baptism, we get the call to follow Jesus fully and completely with all of who we are. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus talks about in the Gospels, and it's the kind of discipleship that he continues to call us to today. We don't just dip our toes in the waters of baptism, following Jesus just a little bit. We are buried with Christ in the water, completely. We die to sin and to death and to ourselves and our own selfish desires. And when we die in those waters of baptism, God raises us to new life and begins to transform all of us. The call to follow Jesus is not a partial call. We don't just follow Jesus when we want to, or when it makes sense, or when it's convenient, or even when it's easy. That's not what we are called to. Christ calls us to follow him completely with all of who we are and in every area of our lives. And when we do, it will affect every area of our lives, including our relationships, like Jesus talks about today. Because when we follow Jesus completely and fully, God transforms our values and our priorities and our goals and our behaviors. When we follow Jesus fully and completely, it changes our patterns of thinking and our patterns of behaving. And that will directly affect our relationships, especially those closest to us. And sometimes when we change and when we are transformed, it changes those relationships, not always in a positive way, because it can often disrupt the peace in those relationships. It can alter the equilibrium. It will upset the status quo. And it has the potential to bring division. I mean, think about it. It happened in Jesus' own family. Early in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is healing people. He's out preaching and teaching. And what happens? His family comes to get him and take him home because they think that he has lost his mind. Jesus was so faithfully committed to following God and to bringing about God's reign of peace and justice and mercy on earth that his own family thought he had gone crazy. Following God completely and fully will affect our relationships. Jesus does not sugarcoat his words about what the life of discipleship will look like. And the truth is, he never once promised us that following him would be easy or convenient or comfortable. Doesn't he call us to take up our cross and follow him? Jesus himself endured great trials and hostility and conflict and suffering beyond imagination, ultimately enduring death on a cross. And he was willing to do this because his faithfulness to God was the most important thing in his life. Jesus shows us perfectly what it looks like to love God more than we love our family. And Jesus perfectly shows us what it looks like to love God more than life itself. Sisters and brothers, may this be true for us. May our faithfulness to God be the most important thing in our lives. Because in the waters of baptism, Jesus calls us to follow him completely with all of who we are and with all that we have. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your church. We pray for all who dedicate their lives to serving your people. Renew our commitment to our siblings in faith around the globe and bless the world of our ecumenical and interfaith partners. God, in your mercy, arise, O God, and sustain your creation. We pray for all places affected by natural disasters. Transform the devastations of floods and fires into fertile ground for new life and growth. Fill heaven and earth with your life-giving spirit. God, in your mercy, arise, O God, and sustain the nations. We pray for all the elected officials. Kindle in them a desire to administer your justice. Strengthen their resolve to defend those who are vulnerable and to stand publicly against all forms of oppression. God, in your mercy, arise, O God, and sustain those who are oppressed. We pray for people harmed by oppression and discrimination in any way. Rescue us from all systems that degrade our fellow human beings. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Arise, O God, and sustain this assembly. We pray for this community, celebrating with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. We especially pray for Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, Gyla, Chip, Mike, Sandra, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. In our joy and in our tears, be near us, God, in your mercy. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we remember the saints who have gone before us. May we run the perseverance, the race set before us, until we find our rest in you, God, in your mercy.
Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Let us pray. God of love, you call us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world. For the sake of your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's presence, there is fullness of joy. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say the mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.